There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
Another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email your story to me. The audio file on your mobile device, it's Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. I have to say, I was really disappointed. I got a Facebook message from a listener of ours in Canada, and they were really kind. They were trying to send us a Christmas gift. And I gave him a place to send it to.
Uh-huh.
And then I got a message, and I didn't know what they were sending, because we've gotten, like, artwork and things
sure.
like that. And I, you know, always welcome that stuff. And he said, I'm really sorry, guys, but customs stopped the gift I was trying to send to you. And it was a bottle of Trailer Park Boys whiskey.
Oh, no.
I guess there's international alcohol shipping laws that if you got the wrong container, you know, if you're the container that gets checked, you're kind of screwed. And it's just like the old weed going through.
Exactly. Exactly.
On the Swayze Express all the way into the States.
They didn't get in trouble or anything. It just was returned.
It just gets returned by customs. It just says you can't ship this. I mean, there's actually shipping laws within the U.S. Mm-hmm. Between states as well, depending on your state's liquor laws. So,
oh man,
that can happen interstate wise as well, because there's some wine clubs that used to skirt that by. By saying they were shipping medical instruments, and because it was just the bottles. I mean, so a scanner sees it and says, oh, medical instrument. Okay, it's vials of whatever.
Sure.
But the laws have gotten a lot more lax, but apparently between Canada and the U.S., they don't want Ricky Bubbles and Julian's products.
That totally bums me out.
Infiltrate the market.
I am a whiskey girl, so yeah.
There you go.
Man.
It's the thought that counts. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy it while you listen to the show.
Exactly. Have one on us. So thank you for that, by the way. I just thought it was kind of a funny note. And just the cool stuff that that you guys send us every now and then. Of course, the artwork and everything, we always show that, and we greatly appreciate that. Of course, the best way, if you want to support the show appreciation, EPP. Sign up to be one of those. Get all the bonus content at ghostpodcast.com. That really is the main thing that fuels our show, other than the wine and what is this? Kahlua and...
This is Bailey's and Kahlua and, on the rocks.
That also fuels the show some nights as well.
It makes it easier for me to talk.
Let's go to our first caller of the night. Wentworth, the street ghost is what this is. What the story is called. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sandy from Charleston, South Carolina. And I was just listening to your podcast talking about how if you open a window, you could let something in or let something out. And I have a story that kind of validates that reasoning. When I was a young girl, we lived in a two-story, two-apartment colonial house in downtown Charleston. My grandparents lived upstairs, and me, my father, my mother, and my brother, we lived in the downstairs apartment. My mom and dad decided that they were going to move to the West Ashley area, which is across the bridge from the downtown area, to buy a house and get me in different schools. So we left my grandparents there, and after that, a gentleman moved in downstairs and rented out the downstairs area. One night, my grandparents were awakened by a loud noise from the downstairs apartment, and they didn't pay it any attention. But the next day, my grandmother went down and looked in the front bay window and saw the young man dead on the floor close to the front door. The story goes that he was gay and he had a lover, and the lover got upset about whatever lovers get upset about, I guess, and killed the young man. Well, if you looked inside the window, you could see that he had clearly been holding on to the wall to get to the front door, because there were blood stains from where he got up or crawled or however he was trying to get to the front door along the wall, and he just made it to the door but couldn't get it open. Well, nobody thought anything about it, and after everything was cleaned up, a older couple moved in, and they said that every night they could hear noises in the living room, like somebody getting into shuffling or falling, just noises like a fight was going on or something. And they were concerned about it, as I would be. This went on for a little while, and my mom finally came up with the idea that maybe he was trying to get out to get help. So if we left the door to his apartment open and also left the front door that leads into the foyer open, maybe he would leave. Well, sure enough, after we did this, they no longer heard the noise in the living room and the place became quiet again. So I believe that someone trying to get out of a home can be let out. And I also believe and have been told that if someone knocks at your door or rings your doorbell and you look out and there's nobody there, that you should not open the door, that you are going to let something in. So that was our experience in Charleston. Of course, Charleston is a very haunted city, and I spend time when I can down there around the cemeteries, and just like to spend time down there hearing the old ghost stories, taking the ghost walks. Love what you guys do. I'm so excited that I finally have a place that has the same feelings I do about things, that I can listen to while I'm at work. And I am an EPP member and love hearing those stories. So keep up the good work. Thanks for keeping me entertained. And I have more stories that I will send in later. And I also sent in a story about a shadow figure in our home in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Okay, I'm going to pose a question, but I know you don't have the answer, but I'm going to just throw it out there.
Of course I do. I have the answer to everything.
Why is it, and we've had listeners see it happen, and it's what we've always envisioned ghosts could do. Some spirits can go through walls, and others have to be let in or out.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Are they confused as to what their ability is, or do not all ghosts have that ability?
I wonder if there's like some sort of feeling associated with it. Well, you're as the ghost,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're going through a wall or something, if it's very difficult, if it drains you, if it's, you know, maybe there's something like that.
Yeah.
All I can think of is like as a human, you know, there's really not a whole lot stopping anyone from walking over a campfire other than there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could walk over it and you'll probably be a bit burned, but you'll probably live as long as you get anything put out that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or people that walk on hot coals or something like that. There's a definite reason not to do it. You could do it, though. I wonder if it's something along those lines.
My other thought is it, or does it have to do with the physical layout of a place when they passed? Because we talk about, you know, ghosts walking on balconies that no longer exist, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
If they are in an old apartment, and this apartment's not had any walls change in the last 100 years, and this is a ghost that haunts the same layout mm-hmm. as when he lived there, then maybe he's confined to those walls still. But say it's a house where they've moved walls and stuff, he's still wandering the original layout, and that's why he's passing through walls that were not there.
That's kind of been my theory for a long time, is that they have to operate on the plane of what was there when they were there. That's why sometimes I think you have ghosts where it's like, and I don't know why, but it appears that they're hovering midair.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at the history of the house, and they're actually this you know, area that's now a one-story, used to be a two-story atrium. There's a balcony over there, and now it's, you know, mid-room.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's where my mind would tend to go a little bit more.
Okay.
Based on the stories that we've had.
Well, I want to put the call out to our listeners if they've got stories about ghosts passing through walls, if they know if it's an old wall or not,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something that can either substantiate or debunk our theory.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear.
I would too. And we have had some with that where mm-hmm. where they have said things like that. Well, there was a balcony here or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But I'm just wondering with the whole passing through walls, not passing through walls.
Yeah. I would love to hear more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also love to hear the manufacturer of bunk beds.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see what happens. Thank you for the story. The number is 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I don't know why this keeps cutting me off, but my name is Ashley. I live in New Mexico, and I'm going to try and hurry and tell my story because it keeps cutting me off. Anyway, about 5 years ago, I had a two-year-old and a newborn, and I laid the newborn down for a nap, and we had a recorder, so this Suri or Haley story made me think of this, but from this last episode. Anyway, so I laid my newborn down for a nap, and I told my two-year-old he needed to stop blowing the recorder because the baby was sleeping. So anyway, he blew it again. So I took the recorder away and I put it on top of our mantle above the fireplace. And I told him he couldn't have it until the baby woke up. So anyway, then I went into another room and I was doing my thing. And I was upstairs and the mantle was downstairs. And my son was upstairs as well in another room playing with toys. And I heard I heard his recorder blow 3 times. Like, just... Oh, I heard some noises. 3 distinct blows. And I thought, oh my gosh, how in the world did my two-year-old get the recorder from off the mantle? It was about 5 feet high. And obviously a two-year-old is not anywhere near that. So, anyway, I went angrily stomping down the hallway into his room where he was playing to find out how he got the recorder. But when I went in, he was just sitting on the floor playing with, you know, toys or whatever. And I looked at him and I got kind of freaked out and I said, "Did you hear that?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Yeah, you blew the recorder," or the whistle. I think he called it a whistle. "You blew the whistle." I was like, "Oh my gosh." Anyway, so that was my recorder story. And I went downstairs and I looked on the mantle and the recorder was still there. Hadn't been touched. So that was kind of weird. But this house was pretty new. But I did have a few weird experiences in it, but I also used to watch, like, scary shows, like haunted shows and stuff. So I don't know if that's where it came from. But another time, my same son, my two-year-old, he pointed out the window and said, "I want to hide from that scary man." And I was home alone. My husband was in school at the time, and it was just getting dark outside. And he pointed at the window behind me, and I looked, and there was nobody out there. So, anyway, he has, like, a long list of things. I have a long list of things that he has said to me that used to creep me out when I was home alone, when my husband was at school. But, anyway, nothing, like, super crazy, but just kind of little things here and there. I have other stories that I'll call in sometime. Okay, thanks for all you do. Bye.
Nothing like the honesty of a small child to freak you out every single time.
That's why it's fun to train your small children just to say creepy things on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So you become used to them and you're just immune to it when they actually do see a creepy entity outside. They're always saying shit like that.
How scary is it to know that there's a ghost or something wandering around your home presenting itself in your image in front of your children?
I think for a while, until you see it yourself, you're going to think the kid's making a lot of shit up.
2-year-olds are a little bit young to be making stuff up.
Sure, but I think you're going to start to wonder, well, what... Initially, I don't think my mind would go to ghost.
Uh-huh.
Go to goat is what I was trying to say. But I think after, you know, a little bit, it's like, wait a second, there's no, you know... I would think maybe they heard someone else in the hall and assumed it would, you know, or heard a mm-hmm. noise and thought his mom or dad, whatever. But yeah, at a certain point, yeah, that's very disturbing.
I would be second guessing my own, like, is that just the sound of the recorder stuck in my head that mm-hmm. I thought I heard it? You know, kind of like when you hear a siren for too long, you swear you still hear it.
Sure.
But he said that she did that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh man, no way.
Good story. Thank you for the experience. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And a new feature that we're doing here on the program, little previews of EPP episodes, little glimpses, mm-hmm. more so than what you get in the promo every week. These are different exclusive snippets. Think along the lines of how if you watch Talking Dead, they give you like an exclusive little peek at the next episodes.
Okay.
And this is peeks at previous EPP bonus episodes. If you're not an EPP, you've probably not heard this before.
But this isn't going to be the most useless, obscure part of the story like they give you preview for Walking Dead.
I try to put a little beef into it. Okay. It's not just like, oh, there's a zombie in the woods. And cut.
Yeah, and that's it.
These actually have a little bit of beef to them, so you can get a better taste of the EPP bonus episodes, which you can sign up to get the full things at ghostpodcast.com. Here's a little clip from EPP episode 117 of Real Ghost Stories Online. That being said, I still had to rule out someone else being in the house. Once I confirmed that no one else was in the house, no one but me, no one I could see, that is. I then walked back to the bathroom in search of an object that came flying in, and I found it. There in the corner of the bathroom, near the bathtub, semi-tucked away within the shower curtain itself, was a book I'd become very familiar with. A Bible. This Bible was previously sitting on the hall bookshelf, open to Psalm 93. It was the fifth Bible to sit on that bookshelf. Two other Bibles sat on the same bookshelf before going missing, only to return to us burned, scorched, semi-destroyed. A third Bible got turned into confetti paper. This Bible was a fourth Bible. It had just been thrown at me. The speed, the force of it spoke well of it being a deliberate act. The poltergeist within our home was acting out. It was rebelling against our proactive measures, and it was doing it with a level of force I found surreal. I called Tina to inform of what had happened. She then called the priest to inform him of what had happened. I placed the Bible back on the hallway bookshelf. A few days later, it went missing. And it has never returned.
I'm freaked out and I'd already heard that story.
It's kind of interesting when you rehear these again, you know, because we heard them initially when we read them, but that's a pretty dark one.
Yeah.
If you like the dark ghost stories, if you like the ones where you go, gosh, I'll take, poltergeist in my house, because they refer to this as a poltergeist, but I think it's well beyond that. I think I was putting it lightly.
Yeah.
You end up kind of going, yeah, I'll take the kind old grandmother woman that cooks eggs in the middle of the night and leaves all my cabinets open for 200 Alex over this one. But it's a good one. That one's an EPP episode 117. You get access to that and every single bonus episode that we have. I believe we're up to 118 of them now, or 119 by the time this airs. And of course, the exclusive video content, Seeing Ghosts, all that is up there for you at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. And there you go. You get all that extra stuff and you help keep us on the air. Makes a good Christmas gift.
It does.
I always say give the gift of ghosts.
Hint, hint.
So, there you go. Check that out at ghostpodcast.com. Let's go over to Lindsay. Hi.
Hi, Brewskies. It's Lindsay again. I just heard my last story on your podcast. So excited. since then, I've had another experience. On Halloween, my boyfriend and I decided we were going to go to the Lizzie Borden house in Fall River, Massachusetts. And if you don't know, the Lizzie Borden house is real. The nursery rhyme, Lizzie Borden had an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks, is true to a degree. I mean, Lizzie Borden was a real person, and there were real murders that took place, and they were just gruesome murders. And so we figured, hey, what better to do on Halloween than take a nice road trip, see all the foliage, and you know, go to this really haunted house. And so, when we got there, the first thing that the tour guide showed us was this picture that somebody had taken, of the house. They had stayed overnight. It's a bed and breakfast now. They had stayed overnight in the parents' room. And when they were leaving, they took a picture, from the parking lot of the window of the parents' room. And in the picture, there is the face of a woman, like very defined face of an older woman, to which we think is Abby, Lizzie's stepmother. So, I mean, it's somewhat proven that this house is haunted, and I'm sensitive, and I'm sure there's a ton of energy in there, a lot of dark energy. And so we took the tour, and before we went in, I had heard on the podcast of other people doing EVP sessions using their voice recorder on their phones. And so I turned mine on and I put it in my pocket. And I told my boyfriend, since I was recording, to take as many pictures as he could. And he said, okay. And so that'll come back into play later. So we're going through the house, and since I'm sensitive, I made sure I touched every real part of the house, because a lot of the furniture and, you know, pictures in the house are put there because it is a museum, and like they did recreate a lot. None of the original furniture is still there, but the things that are still original to the house are the radiators that the owner put in himself, and the glass doorknobs. So I made sure to touch those. I sound crazy, but I really wanted to touch them and kind of get in tune with the house. And so in the downstairs, I felt totally fine. The tour started in the parlor, and then we went into the dining room, and we went into the living room and the hallway. And the living room is where the father was murdered, and then the stepmother was murdered upstairs in the guest bedroom. And so we went upstairs, and as we're going up the stairs, it almost feels like I'm walking through, like, a dark cloud, like, into this whole, like, floor full of energy. And so we go into the guest bedroom first, where the mother was murdered. And from speculation, they do believe that the stepmother knew the person who murdered her because she didn't try to defend herself. I know this is kind of gruesome, but it was actually very interesting. So we went in there, and I'm listening to the tour guide. And the second I walked into that room, I felt sick. My hands were sweating and clammy. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't see straight. I kept zoning out. And I just felt very, very sick, which isn't really uncommon when there's a lot of energy like that around me. And so we're in there with the tour group, and he's talking about Lizzie's uncle, who is one of the suspects of the murder. And he's talking about how Lizzie's uncle knew a lot about his alibi and how they never checked his alibi. And as he's talking about this, I felt something put its hand on my shoulder and almost pull it back, and I thought it was somebody behind me that it felt like a real hand, somebody behind me that couldn't see and was like trying to look around me because the room was somewhat small. And so I felt it and I looked behind me, and directly behind me was like a desk with a lamp. Like, there was no space for anybody behind me, and the only person around me was my boyfriend to my left, holding my hand, and I felt the tug on my right shoulder. And so after that, I just kind of like, I froze. I mean, I squeezed his hand really hard, and I just wanted to be out of there. I was terrified. And so we're going through the house, and when we're in the girl's bedroom, so all the bedrooms in the upstairs are connected. There's no hallways. The doors lead into each other, which was interesting. And for a long time, Lizzie's older sister lived in the room. And then when Lizzie was older, she asked if they could trade. And so they did. And so during the times that the murder took place, that was Lizzie's bedroom. And we were in there. And my boyfriend, who I would say is pretty hypersensitive, but very skeptic, he also has, you know, some emotional disturbances like I do, which I believe do make us a little more sensitive to this, as Tony has said before. And so we're in the room, and he just doesn't look right. Like, I can tell he's very uncomfortable. And in that room, there was even, Lizzie used to sign all the books that she would read. She would sign them with a calligraphy pen, and some of the books that she read were in there, and it was her room. And so we were moving throughout the house, you know, we went upstairs into the attic. The attic really freaked him out. And then we're down in the kitchen, and we're like saying goodbye, and we walk out the house. And overall, the tour was really fun. It was really good. My experiences, I mean, made me a little more terrified, but, you know, still all in good fun. And as we're leaving, he kind of, like, zones out. He, like, I get this kind of fog over his eyes, I guess, like, glazed over. And he's like, babe, I want to take a picture of the house. And I was like, what? And he was like, I want to take a picture of the house before we go. Just one. I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, go ahead. And so he takes a picture of the house, and that's it. We get in the car and we go. And on the way home, you know, we're listening to the EVP. I told him about the ghost grabbing my shoulder, which I believe was the mother, the stepmother, who was murdered in that room, because I mean, the tour guide was talking about one of the suspects, and I think it was her telling me, like, he did it. But, you know, that's up for speculation. But that's what I felt at the time. It didn't feel like a mean grab. It felt almost like, you know, I thought somebody was behind me trying to see, like a concerned grab, I guess. And so we're leaving the house, and he's looking at the pictures he took, and he says, "Lindsay, look at this picture." And I said, "I don't see..." It was the picture of the house that he took, and I was like, "I don't see anything about it." He was like, "Look in the window." And I kid you not, there are two distinct faces in the girl's bedroom in the window. And they almost look as if they're looking out the window, sort of daydreamy and somber. But he showed it to me when I was driving home, and I screamed. Like, I was like, maybe it's light, maybe it's somebody in the window, maybe it's another tour group. But, like, I could not debunk it. And I'm gonna attach it to this email, because you guys have to see this too. I could not debunk it. And it's just so strange that he felt all that energy in their bedroom and then stopped to take that picture, and they were in it. And, like, the girls moved out of the house after the murders, and they moved to another part of Fall River. But it makes me wonder if, because of all that dark energy, that they stayed and they can't get out. Or maybe it's their guilt, because they don't know who really did it. And the last thing, going back to the EVP, was when we were in the car, I put in a headphone and I was listening to the EVP. And, you know, there's us, like, chit-chatting, like, when we're about to go into the house. And then the second we walked into the house on my phone, it just stops playing. And I was like, "Oh, that's strange." So I'm, like, hitting play, and I'm hitting play, and it's not playing. But if I skipped forward, it continued to play as we were in the house. I haven't listened to the full EVP yet. I'm not sure if there's anything else on there, but really strange. Every time, even at my house, every time I go to play the EVP, it always stops the second we go into the house. And I wasn't holding my phone or anything, so there's no reason that it should be doing that. I have a brand new iPhone. But yeah, really strange, really scary picture, really dark energy, really heightened activity. And, you know, I think it had a lot to do with it being Halloween, because a lot of cultures believe that the spirit world and the human world kind of cross boundaries on that day. And it wouldn't surprise me. So I just wanted to share it with you, and I can't wait for you to see this picture, because it blows my mind. Blows my mind. And, you know, keep doing what you do. I love being an EVP, or not an EVP, an EPP. And, yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you guys again soon. All right, bye-bye.
Did you look at the pictures?
No, I chicken out. Did you?
I printed them, and I made them into posters, and they're in the walls of your office now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do the big canvas prints.
Right.
Got a great Black Friday deal. Uh-huh. 35% off, and just put it right up there. So now you're walk in, Lizzie Borden ghosts, for your viewing pleasure. I did. I just looked at them while she said that she sent pictures.
Okay.
I was going to say send pictures. And I guess I didn't realize when I downloaded the audio there was pictures there. Yeah, it's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most, you know, clear image, if you will. You know, I mean, as clear as we've gotten is one where I actually had to reply to the person going, "Where's the ghost?" And they're like, "It's that person in the picture."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought that was just a person. But it is, you can see very clearly two faces when you look at this thing. And if I can pick it up, you can probably pick it up because I'm horrible at that.
Sure.
But you can really make out, you know, it's as if, I guess I would say, you're sitting there and if you were to see this, you know, the smoke form or the mist form into a face, that's what it looks like. It looks like it's formed into two faces and they're kind of like crooked-headedly looking out the window of this room. So, want to come see it? Or?
No, I'm sorry. I don't.
You sure?
Uh-uh.
Positive?
Not at, what, almost 10 o'clock at night? No.
I'll give you a Jolly Rancher.
Oh, I'm going to stay over here with my Baileys and Kahlua. Screw your Jolly Rancher.
That's what works usually throughout my day for, not with you, but...
with the kids.
With the kids.
Sure.
Give you a Jolly Rancher. Okay. I'll rake all the leaves in the yard. Not yet.
No.
And when they're able to do that, I'm thinking Jolly Rancher probably will not be the sufficient reward.
Mm-mm.
Unfortunately. But it's creepy. We'll put that in the next episode of Seeing Ghosts that'll be coming out here. Either later in the month of December here or early January. Not quite sure when that one's going to fall, but that's when that one will fall. And since we're talking about seeing ghosts, if you have a ghost photo like they did, you can email that to me as well, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com. Give us a little, you know, it doesn't have to be an in-depth story, but paragraph just telling us what we're looking at and just a little bit about the experience of you getting that photo or if the photo was given to you by someone. You know, what it is. And we may use it in a future episode of Seeing Ghosts, which you can watch at ghostpodcast.com. 10 episodes of that are out right now for your viewing pleasure. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go another caller.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. So this is Ashley from Indiana. And the story I'm going to tell you today is, it's a little difficult, so if I get emotional, I apologize. This actually just happened to me last night, and I really don't know if it's paranormal or what, but it just felt too real for me to just brush off. Okay, so, back in August, my brother-in-law, passed away. It was very sudden and quite heartbreaking. Let's see, about almost 10 years ago, my brother-in-law and my sister and their kids moved down to Tennessee, and that's where they've been. So I haven't seen him in a really long time. In fact, I think the last time I saw him was maybe 5 years ago when his stepdad passed away. I went down there for the funeral, and that was the last time I physically saw him. He had a drinking problem, and it ruined pretty much their marriage with my sister, and they were divorced without really going into too much detail because it's private, and just things were bad emotionally, and you know, he just it turned him into someone that he wasn't. Before they moved, I was really close. I'm still very close with my sister, but I used to go to their house almost every weekend and stay the night a lot. I would go over there a lot and just hang out. I was very close with them, all of them. And he was the type of guy to he was always making everyone laugh and just being kind of silly. I mean, he could be a very serious person at times, but he was just a fun-loving, just goofy, mellow guy. And he was always making you laugh. Back in August, when my sister called me and told me that he passed away, I was in shock, and especially the way he died, which I won't go into detail because it's not really relevant to the story, but it wasn't very good. That day, I was just in shock, you know, and I couldn't go down to Tennessee for his funeral because I didn't have the money. And they understood that, you know. But I felt like I never really got closure with his death. And I believe that I mourned in my own way. But yeah, I felt like that I never got closure. And the way he treated my sister and their kids, I felt kind of guilty for feeling as sad as I did when he died and for missing him because of all the pain that he put them through. But I knew that the person he was when he died wasn't who he really was. It was the alcohol that made him that way. And I mean, ultimately it was his choice, but anyway, I wanted to remember him how he was, you know, when he lived up here, when they all lived up here, when I used to go to their house all the time, because I believe that's who he was. And that's how everyone else remembered him. And so I did that, but like I said, I felt guilty, and I felt kind of like I shouldn't be sad because he did all these bad things to my sister. But he was also a huge part of my life, and he was a great guy. So last night, I go to bed, and I get up this morning, and I put my son on the bus, and I go back to sleep, and I have this dream. I dream that it's me, my brother-in-law, and my sister. We're all sitting on this couch, and he's just kind of being silly and making us laugh and just being him. And in this dream, I feel like that I'm younger, like teenage years, you know. And, you know, we're all laughing and having a good time. And, you know, when he passed, he had lost quite a bit of weight. But in my dream, he was heavier from what I remember. And I just remember looking at him, and he looked exactly how I remember. And we were just having a good time. And my sister was sitting right next to him. We were sitting in, like, he was sitting in the middle, and I'm on one, she is on the other side. And I just look at her, and she just gives me the most comforting smile. I mean, not a full smile, just a smile. And she just shakes her head, yes. And in that point in my dream, I knew that he was dead, and that he was gone. And I just started, and I'm sorry I'm getting a little emotional, but I started full on crying and sobbing. And I don't know if anyone has ever cried in their dreams, but you can actually feel it. You can feel the pain. And I felt it. And I was crying and sobbing. Like, it just hit me all over again. Like, from when she first told me that he was gone, that's what it felt like. And when I was sobbing, because I remember I closed my eyes and I was sobbing in my dream, and I heard his voice in my head, and I'm sorry I'm getting emotional, but he said, I know why you're crying, and I don't want you to. I don't exactly know what he meant by that. Maybe I don't want you to cry over me. Maybe because I'm okay, or I don't know. But it felt so real, and it was his voice, and I haven't heard his voice in years. But it didn't sound like it was right next to my ear, you know, when someone speaks right next to you. It didn't sound like that. It was from in my head. I heard his voice. And at this point, I woke up in my bed with my husband next to me, and I am crying. I mean, I am sobbing. And my voice is, you know, when you cry, and I mean, I had tears rolling down my cheek, and, you know, my nose was running, and I was, my breath was hitching, and I was just sobbing, and I woke up like that. And at first I was like, what the heck, just what happened, you know, what was that? And I got up, and I, you know, situated myself, and I calmed down. I mean, I had to take some deep breaths because I was really crying, and I just kind of tired, so I just went back to sleep. And I didn't dream any more about him. I had some other weird dreams. But, you know, I don't know if this was paranormal. I don't know if this was him reaching out to me. And I hope that it was him. But I think that my sister smiling and nodding, I think it was her saying it's okay to remember him like this. You know, you don't have to feel guilty for remembering him like this. And I think that gave me, I felt closure. Now it could have been, he could have been reaching out to me, or it could have been my subconscious dealing with his death and maybe giving myself some closure. I don't know, but like I said, it just felt so real. And I've never been this emotionally impacted before, you know, with a dream, other than a night with my son when I was pregnant. I woke up like screaming and crying for that one. But I just want to let the listeners know, you know, that if someone has passed and that they may not have been the best person when they went, but they were once a really good person, you know, it's okay to miss them and be sad, and it's okay to remember them how they were and not, you know, not the bad things that they did when they died. It's okay to be sad, and it's okay to cry and miss them, because they were, you know, important. They were part of your life. So yeah, I'm sorry I got all emotional. And like I said, I don't know if it was paranormal. I don't know if it was my subconscious. I don't know, but it was, it was sort of comforting to me. So yeah, I just wanted to call and share my story. I kind of didn't want to share it because it was so personal, so emotionally impacting to me, but I thought if I could help someone else out there feeling the same way that I felt, maybe they can get some closure too. So, yeah. Love the show, and I hope you guys have a great day.
You know, I think definitely not in all cases, but sometimes, you know, they say ghosts can't cross over because they have unfinished business. I wonder if sometimes they can't cross over because we have unfinished business with them.
I could see that.
And I guess byproduct of that makes it their unfinished business, but it's more so sometimes we need that closure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we have so many of these visits in a, I guess, a less threatening setting of coming in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Than, hey, you know, you walk into another room and your dead loved one is right there.
And it's interesting with this one, the closure on it being once she kind of had that contact dream,
mm-hmm.
then it settled down.
Yeah.
It was like, is that the evidence of this being more paranormal? Now, I would think so,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the fact that that ends there. And just the fact of how, you know, out of characterly vivid some of that can be sometimes for someone like this, where, of course, you know, sure, you care about the person, but obviously a lot of distress and stuff had been mm-hmm. caused. So to be like, why am I feeling this way? You know,
yeah,
it's odd. It's awkward, you know, and it I think points to more paranormal explanations than not.
Well, and I kind of wonder, too, if some of what she's feeling isn't from others in her family that are kind of feeling that. You know, the, you've got the sorrow there. Of course, it was an untimely death, but then the way that things had just kind of gotten out of control with his use of alcohol, it seems like, you know, I think part of that is the mourning of it never getting fixed.
Sure.
Never having the chance to fix that. And I almost wonder if when she said she saw her sister in the dream too, and the sister kind of smiled at her like it was okay. I think she was saying it was okay that you're feeling what you're feeling, because she had talked about kind of feeling a little bit guilty for mourning somebody who had caused so much heartache.
Sure. No, I think you're right. I think that's something I think probably an empathic person would be, you know, more apt to feel than others. So thank you for the story and sharing that obviously very personal experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. You being a listener to the show. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this thing, please consider becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is. Excuse me, I got these coughs that come up every now and then.
That happens.
I know. Anyway, $5 a month is all it is. You sign up, you get access to all of our bonus episodes, all the exclusive video content, and much more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.